Here's your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. Why we must defend the Hyde and Helms Amendments. Jonathan Abamonte reports. Regardless of their opinions on abortion, Americans have long believed that taxpayers, many of whom are deeply opposed to abortion for moral or religious reasons, should at the very least not be forced to pay for the cost of a woman's abortion. This position has long been non-controversial and widely accepted, even by many Americans on the left. But now, Democrats in Congress and within the Biden administration are calling for the repeal of both the Hyde and the Helms Amendments, laws which for decades have protected a large subset of Americans from being forced to pay for activities they find deeply morally objectionable. For decades, both Democrats and Republicans in Congress have worked together to pass middle-of-the-road compromise legislation that ensures that taxpayer dollars are not used to pay for abortions in federally funded programs. Over the years, dozens of bipartisan bills blocking federal funding for abortion have been passed with the support of both parties in Congress and signed into law by every U.S. president since Richard Nixon. Perhaps the most well-known example of this is the Hyde Amendment, a provision of law which prohibits federal tax dollars from paying for abortion through Medicare, Medicaid, and the Children's Health Insurance Program, called CHIP or CHIP. The Hyde Amendment bans federal funding for abortion in these federally funded health care programs in all cases except in cases of rape, incest, or where a physician certifies that the pregnancy places the mother's life in danger. The Hyde Amendment has been included every year in the annual budget bill Congress uses to fund the government since 1976. The provision has always been passed as part of Congress's annual omnibus appropriations bill without serious opposition or controversy. The Helms Amendment is another well-known law passed long ago by Congress to prevent public funding for abortion. The amendment prohibits U.S. foreign aid from being used to pay for abortions in foreign countries. The amendment also forbids U.S. foreign assistance dollars from being used to motivate or coerce any woman into having an abortion. In recent years, politicians on the left have increasingly called for the repeal of the Hyde and Helms Amendments. During the Democratic presidential primaries this past election cycle, every Democratic president candidate supported a repeal of the Hyde Amendment. President Joe Biden made headlines in the summer of 2019 when he flip-flopped on the Hyde Amendment during his campaign for president. He said that he would endorse a repeal of the Hyde Amendment after he had publicly supported the law for 43 years as a senator and as former vice president. "I can't justify leaving millions of women without access to the care they need and the ability to exercise their constitutionally protected right," Biden said at the time. Candidate Biden dropped his 43-year-old support of the Hyde Amendment just one day after his campaign had confirmed to NBC News that he still supported the law. The Democratic Party platform called for the release of the Hyde and Helms Amendments for the first time in 2016. Democrats again reiterated a commitment to repeal Hyde and Helms in their party platform in 2020, pledging that Democrats will work to repeal the Hyde Amendment and protect and codify the right to reproductive freedom, and to support the repeal of measures like the Helms Amendment, which limit safe access to abortion. With Democrats now having secured the White House, a majority in the House of Representatives, and a slim majority in the Senate, calls for repealing the Hyde Amendment are growing stronger. "The Hyde Amendment is a discriminatory policy," Representative Rosa DeLauro, a Democrat, said last December. Nonetheless, recent polling shows that overwhelming majorities of Americans support the aims of both the Hyde and the Helms Amendments. Freedom of thought, of conscience, and religion are core values at the heart of our democracy and our national identity. Americans are generally opposed to laws which hinder a person's right to freedom of speech, thought, belief, religion, or conscience. For many Americans, abortion is murder. Many Americans have deeply held moral or religious reasons for opposing abortion. They believe strongly that paying for abortion through their tax dollars compels them to act against their deeply held beliefs by funding activities with their own money that they find gravely immoral and evil. Progressives have alleged that public funding for abortion is necessary for low-income women to effectively exercise their so-called right to abortion. Without government assistance, they cannot afford an abortion, advocates say. Progressives have also argued that compelling people who have a moral or religious objection to abortion to pay for abortions with their tax dollars is justifiable because all citizens are sometimes required to pay taxes for policies they disagree with. The unjust killing of an innocent human being, however, can never be considered a right. From a moral perspective, no court decision or law passed by Congress can ever make abortion a right. But even if we set aside moral considerations and just focus on the jurisprudence on abortion handed down by the courts, there can be found no right to government-funded abortion. The Supreme Court in Roe v. Wade erroneously held that a woman has a qualified right to abortion, but the court has never held that the government must provide the means by which a person can effectively exercise any right, let alone the so-called right to abortion. Under the Bill of Rights, all Americans have the right to freedom of speech, right to peaceful assembly, freedom of the press, and so on. But the government is under no compulsion to provide funding for anyone to effectively exercise any of those rights. A person is not entitled to a government grant to exercise his right to freedom of speech, even if the person does not have the financial means to exercise that right. A person who wants to set up a television station to express his views on politics has no right to demand that the government pay for his studio equipment. Everyone has the right to marry and found a family, but the government is under no obligation to pay for the expenses that make starting their family possible. In the same way, no person has the right to receive government funding to pay for an elective abortion, even if, according to Roe v. Wade, women do have a so-called right to abortion. In 1980, the Supreme Court made this clear in its decision in Harris v. McRae. There they upheld the Hyde Amendment as constitutionally valid. It does not follow that a woman's freedom of choice carries with it a constitutional entitlement to the financial resources to avail herself of the full range of protected choice, they said. Moreover, the court found that, and I quote, a refusal to fund protected activity without more cannot be equated with the imposition of a penalty on that activity, end quote. As for paying for things through taxes that you do not agree with, a comparison can hardly be made when it comes to abortion. There is no moral equivalence between paying for the killing of an unborn child and federal expenditures one may disagree with even fervently. Many government expenditures seem pointless, frivolous, or even downright wasteful to many people. But for Americans who view abortion as the killing of an unborn child, public funding for abortion is not just reasonable or dislikable, it violates their fundamental beliefs and hinders their ability to live according to their consciences. A democracy cannot exist when its citizens are not free to live according to the dictates of their conscience. Forcing citizens who deeply oppose abortion to pay for abortion procedures through their hard-earned wages is tantamount to government coercion. Any law which hinders a person's ability to act on his deeply held beliefs or which compels him to act in opposition to his deeply held beliefs is not only antithetical to American values, but also a violation of his fundamental human right to live his life in accordance with his deeply held beliefs. The Hyde Amendment has not only protected the conscience rights of roughly half of the country, the law is also directly responsible for saving the lives of millions of Americans. According to a study from Michael New, the Hyde Amendment has saved an estimated 2.46 million lives since 1976. Who would argue which of these 2.46 million lives, many of whom are with us today as children, teens, and adults, should never have been born? Consider the Helms Amendment. Thanks to its passage soon after Roe, the U.S. government has never funded abortion procedures through foreign assistance. How many infant lives have been saved as a result of the Helms Amendment? We don't know. But the amendment has undoubtedly saved countless lives throughout the world. In addition to saving lives, the Helms Amendment also protected the international image of the United States. In most countries that receive significant U.S. foreign assistance, citizens are generally opposed to abortion. Allowing the government to fund abortion in foreign countries would harm U.S. federal foreign aid efforts and would erode the trust that U.S. aid programs in foreign countries have with their beneficiaries. Funding abortion through foreign assistance would also send a hostile message to those opposed to abortion in foreign countries. It would tell them that the American people do not respect them, their values, their beliefs, or their culture. While many pro-abortion activists complain about the funding restrictions contained in the Hyde Amendment, the law is actually less restrictive than it used to be. The original version of the Hyde Amendment, passed by Congress in 1976, made exceptions only when necessary to save the life of the mother. This version of the Hyde Amendment garnered support from all political parties and Congress at the time, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and Conservatives alike. The bill was even passed over a veto by then-President Gerald Ford. Ford actually supported the Hyde Amendment, but vetoed the bill for fiscal reasons unrelated to the amendment. During the Carter administration, exceptions to the Hyde Amendment were added in cases of rape, incest, and long-lasting damage to the physical health of the mother, as certified by two physicians. After the Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the original Hyde Amendment in the Harris v. McRae decision, Congress removed the exceptions in cases of rape, incest, and health from the Hyde Amendment. From 1981 until 1993, the Hyde Amendment banned public funding for all abortion through Medicaid and Medicare. The only exception was when it was necessary to save the life of the mother. In 1993, Congress added back exceptions in cases of rape and incest, and it is this version of the Hyde Amendment that has been passed by Congress every year since to this day. While the Hyde Amendment prevents federal dollars for Medicaid from being used to fund abortion procedures, states are free to use their own state contributions in Medicaid to pay for abortions. The vast majority of states follow the Hyde Amendment and only fund abortion in cases to save the life of the mother or in cases of rape or incest. However, a few states have freely chosen to adopt legislation that allows the state to pay for all medically necessary abortions for persons who qualify for Medicaid. In these states, state taxes are used to pay for medically necessary, end quote, abortions. Several more states have also been forced by the courts to pay for medically necessary abortions through Medicaid in their state. Currently, 28 states prohibit Medicaid dollars from being used to pay for abortion except under the Hyde exceptions of life of the mother, rape, and incest. If the Hyde Amendment were repealed, however, all Americans would be forced to pay for abortion through their federal taxes. Lawmakers and elected officials do not represent just the people who share their partisan ideological leanings. They represent all their constituents, and on the federal level, their decisions affect all Americans. We believe that policymakers must respect the conscience rights and deeply held beliefs of all citizens and not seek to force them to support government-funded objectives that deeply offend their moral principles. The government must never fund abortion or the termination of life in the womb. Lawmakers of all political leanings should get behind and support the Hyde and Helms amendments and other policies which prevent federal funding for abortion. Americans expect this of their leaders, and citizens of this country should hold elected leaders accountable to it. This has been your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. Thanks for listening.